global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are maintaining their gains since the last time we spoke. Dow futures currently higher by 35 points. S&P's gained 4 and Nasdaq futures rise by 6. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.89%. And WTI crude futures hit $41 a barrel. Main European markets are also trading higher this morning. Spain gains 0.7%. On the U.S. economic front at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment estimate 92.2 and Fed speak at 9:11 and 2:30. After the bell last night, Adobe beat. Shares are up 5% pre-market and J.P. Morgan boosted its buyback by an additional $1.9 billion. In deal news, TransCanada buy Columbia Pipeline Group for $10.2 billion. And in other news, Tiffany EPS beat. Revenues were in line. Shares are a little changed pre-market. Following some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades, Patterson UTI cut to neutral at Citigroup, Fleetcor raised to buy at Evercore ISI, Atmos Energy cut to equal weight at Morgan Stanley, PayPal cut to hold at Stiefel, Micron cut to neutral at Susquehanna, and finally SeaWorld raised to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go in your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. Bloomberg Surveillance this Friday. Brought to you by Invesco. Looking for investment views. Experienced experts are just a click away. Go to Invesco.com/US to subscribe to the Invesco blog and follow at Invesco US on Twitter. With us, Benjamin Friedman of Harvard University, who darkened the door in 1972, has written a few definitive books, thinking broader and with greater perspective on our economy, and, of course, productivity front and center. But, Michael McKee, there's something a little more urgent right now than a broader discussion of capital, labor, and total factor productivity.
Well, it's not as urgent in the United States, which is struggling along with about 2% growth, but certainly in Japan it has become a central issue, as has Europe adopted it, and that is negative interest rates. Benjamin Friedman has been looking at monetary policy tools. This morning, Christine Lagarde of the IMF came out and endorsed negative rates. Others are suggesting that they may work in some circumstances and backfire in others. What do you think?
I think they're helpful, but in a very, very modest way. The ability to stimulate the economy through negative rates in the banking system is very modest. Fortunately, we in the United States were sufficiently proactive in our monetary policy that we managed to engineer a recovery and now an expansion from the crisis a few years ago, and we didn't need to do that. I think the Europeans and even more so the Japanese are in terrible trouble, so they're trying every tool they have. Is it useful? Probably a little bit, but I sure wouldn't look for much in the way of major results.
All right, let's talk about the moral consequences of economic growth. You wrote a fabulous book that people are bringing back to the fore this year.
Yes, there is.
It has become a thing, people talking about on the Internet, et cetera, where you question whether the financial system is serving us well. And there are certainly a whole lot of voters out there who would suggest the answer this year is no.
Yeah, I think, alas, I'm sorry to say, the current election campaign is exactly what the book was about. The thesis of the book is that when the broad bulk of the population has a sense of getting ahead in its material living standard, then the politics, the social relations, ultimately what I call the moral character of the society is in good shape and improves also. And by contrast, whenever the bulk of the citizenry has a sense that they're not getting ahead and they don't have optimism that that's going to turn around anytime soon, then not only is there no progress on these political, social, moral fronts, but often there's a period of retrenchment, retreat, and bad things happen. Mm. The American people are not foolish. They know that it's now been nearly 20 years since they've had any improvement in their standard of living. It's not just a matter of the crisis.
Right.
Even in the years of the 2000s leading up to the crisis, although the GDP was moving forward at some quite acceptable rate, people don't live by
right.
GDPs. They live by their standard of living. And the fruits of that incremental production were accruing to a very narrow slice of people.
Your study, Professor, just because of time, I've got to be rude here, but this is critical. Within your study of this nation, can policymakers affect and drive forward economic growth?
Yes, they certainly can. And they have done so in the past, and we've seen that in the period of the Great Depression. We've seen that in the period of the 1960s. We've seen that in the period of the 1990s. So it's absolutely within the power of government to drive the economy forward and to deliver a higher standard of living to the people. Now, we haven't done that for 20 years.
Could the big dig happen today in Boston? For those of you worldwide, Benjamin Friedman single-handedly got rid of the Northeast Expressway. No, could the big dig, that huge infrastructure project in Boston, could that happen today?
I'm very skeptical for just the reasons you're hinting at. I think one of the consequences, and it's a familiar one, of this stagnation of people's standards of living is that our politics becomes dysfunctional. And for listeners who don't know, the Big Dig was a huge construction project paid for by the federal government. I find it very difficult in our current situation of political stalemate to picture that if the president were to propose a project like that, or think of new airport construction, think of new port facilities, think of regenerating the American highways and bridges and ports.
Right.
I find it very difficult to imagine he'd get such a program through the Congress.
Professor Friedman, thank you so much. Benjamin Friedman, folks, I can't say enough about the timelessness of the moral consequences of economic growth. It has been over 10 years, and it is still exceptionally, maybe even more fresh today than it was then. Mike, I can say this is a life-changing event. The day I stood in downtown Boston and looked across at the North End with no highway in the way because they tore it down, was $12 or $14 billion at the time, maybe even $20 billion, was just stunning. Just stunning.
I think even more important than the view were the jobs it created and the stimulus it created for the Massachusetts economy.
We say good morning to GE senior management. They're moving to Boston. This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
Time now for the With All Due Respect highlight brought to you by Land Rover. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverTriState.com for special offers during the only adventure sales event, Land Rover Above and Beyond.